everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Lava Pool. I'm your host, Sam Harsma, and this week is the Nats episode. Starting with segment one, we have Colin, the Battle Room.
Hello.
Colin, how's it going?
Good.
Are you going to Steak and Shake at Nationals?
Of course. I have to go to Steak and Shake. Of course.
It's a requirement. Do you even know how that started?
Myself, I have no idea how it started. I just know I show up at Steak and
Shake. Okay. What's your favorite shake from Steak and Shake?
I gotta go with just the classic of vanilla.
I also like vanilla quite a bit. Also joining us, we have Blake, Mr. Bopper Hopper.
Hello.
Do you know how the whole Steak and Shake thing got started?
No clue, but I'm all about it.
Alright, and what shake are you all about?
I am all about the peanut butter cup shake. It is
okay. Delicious. Not bad.
Yeah.
And last but not least, we have Scott.
Hello!
Hey. I was trying to think of your username, but it's just Scott, isn't it?
Good luck finding one. If you find one, let me know, and I'll start using it.
All right. Do you know how the Steak and Shake thing got started?
I wish I knew. I've been going to Nashville since 2010. It was already a thing, so couldn't tell you.
Okay. That was the first year they had it in Indy.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know if they started this in, I think, St. Louis, where it was before that, or... Like, you know, I just wasn't paying enough attention. But yeah, every year we've gone, and every year it's been terrible. So, like, you'll literally have to kill me and drag my corpse there to get me in there this year.
Yeah, like, the shakes are good. I like the shakes.
Yeah, the shakes are fine. I mean, I'm going to lead into my answer here, but I can't actually eat shakes. So I get violently ill. But I've heard the shakes are good, but the food is atrocious.
Yeah, back in Michigan, there was... one right near me, and it was basically the only time you went there was if it was 3 a.m., and it was either that or Denny's, and who goes to Denny's? Anyway, Pokemon, we have Japan Nationals happening this weekend.
Saturday.
I thought it was Sunday.
I think it's Saturday.
Yeah.
Or it's like...
It's in between for us.
It's technically in between, but it's like Saturday night to Sunday morning.
Our Saturday, their Sunday.
Yeah, that.
Okay, that explains the confusion.
Yes.
I have not been following Japan at all this year. So,
I mean,
any of you guys know what's going on there?
It's been kind of tough to follow, or at least for me, because the way I study, and I use that term loosely, the Japanese metagame is just by battling on BattleSpot. And recently... Obviously, I have not been able to do that due to its recent, like, shifting of metagames. So, I have no idea what's going on in their metagame.
Well, for me, I played on BattleSpot, so I played a lot of Japanese, much like Blake. And the Japanese always seem to find ways to destroy my regional teams. Like, I just couldn't handle them ever. And they would make me panic last second. I just go on BattleSpot and... Like, the team I won Madison with had, like, a 60% win percentage, which isn't that great. But I was playing mostly Japanese, and they just really like to destroy my teams.
I had the reverse problem the last couple of years, where I would only play, like, GBU, and only play Japanese players, and I could just destroy them, but then I'd come to our regionals or nationals and just get pounded.
That's nice.
Yeah. I'm kind of okay not playing them at the moment.
See, I was just going to say, I have kind of been following a little bit on Twitter and stuff to get an idea what the big-name players are doing, but like as it always seems to work with Japan's Nationals, like most of the internet celebrity players didn't actually qualify for Nationals, so it's hard to follow who you'd normally follow. I know that they have like 30 or 32, I think, guaranteed spots, but like they're unlike with world invites or whatever, they're passing them down if you don't get there. And there were a couple like big names players. I think C is one of them who are like right in the bubble. So I'm not completely sure if he'll be there, but like he'll be a favorite if he is. I think he won the Japan or the Asia Cup. Yeah. But like he'll be there. I know there's a guy who played a couple times in the Nugget Bridge Lives who will be there, which is like trying to remember his alias, but it's not coming to me right now. But so I'm kind of rooting for him just because he does bother to play against the North American folk. Like the guy who made the ridiculous Hyper Beam Giga Impact team, I'm pretty sure is qualified. So I'd like him to do well just because that was ridiculous and he's earned my respect.
So as far as metagame stuff, basically the only thing I've heard coming out of Japan is that they like Fast Aegislash now. and I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
I don't know.
Outspeed Bisharp.
To be completely honest. Maybe outspeed Rotom?
It destroys the... Yeah, it destroys Bisharp.
It outspeeds
Bisharp.
Rotom so you can...
Oh, Bisharp, yeah.
Before it will-o-wisps.
Oh, God, that'd actually be hilarious. That would be a nightmare for Bisharp.
I love it so much. I screw around with it a lot just because... Like, I love the weird gimmicky sets right now since I don't need to win anyway. And I was running, like, the May Wi-Fi tournament. I had, like, absolute max speed Aegislash. It was so much fun. Like, I got in a... The guy was running a clone of Randy's team, I think, but he didn't have the scarf on the Rotom. So I substituted, and he tried to Will-O-Wisp me, and that was just pretty much the game.
Oh, Lord.
And I also knocked out a couple of Bisharps where they thought they would be all cute and, like, assurance me or whatever, and I would just destroy them with Sacred Sword before they could move. So fun set would suggest.
Yeah. Other than that, any other trends you guys have noticed?
I'm pretty sure they just stick mainly to Kangaskhan. I'm not fully sure, though. I assume.
No.
Isn't that just every player right now?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that... Yeah, I mean, the answer would be, like, they play more meta, I think, than North America does right now, or, like, they... At least most of... Especially, I think, like, the, like, upper mid-tier players, as opposed to, like, the very best, tend to stick to the meta and play that sort of stuff well. Like, the one thing I've noticed Japan doing a lot that I wish would catch in North America is most of them, if they're using Talonflame, they have Taunt on it,
yes,
which I think is a really excellent move.
It's such a good set. It's such a good... Like, I ran that in the International Challenge, and it was so good. Like, Taunt Talonflame was amazing. Like, it was just like, Smeargle, no problem. Like,
yeah. Taunt is just so good in this metagame because there's so many things that just really, really don't want to be taunted. Like, it only takes like a turn or two of something not being able to do what it wants to do, and you can just run them over with how strong some of the offensive Pokemon are in this metagame. So, hoping that catches, I think that'd be, a lot of players would be better if they had Taunt on their team
for
somewhere.
Sure. Right. And Safeguard. But I think Taunt is better than Safeguard right now.
Yeah, there's a little bit more setup than... In like the Taunt gets rid of both the status and the setup,
except
stuff
for
like that. So
it's Oblivious Trick Roomers now. So you have to find something else
right.
to stop Trick Room.
Slowbro.
How many of those are there?
Yeah, it's Slowbro. That's pretty much it. Of course, other favorite Trick Room counter, I stole Irrelevance Tyranitar for the IC, which had Dragon Tail on Tyranitar, and I didn't have time to change that.
Yep.
And the one Trick Room team I ran into had Aromatisse. And it's like, well, fantastic.
Oh, that's beautiful, actually. Yeah. Wow. Oh my god.
So that was worthless.
I had the pleasure of facing that, actually. That it... You caught my dragon off guard with that dragon tail.
Yeah.
That was something.
I didn't know that was you.
Yeah. Yeah, I told you about it later, but yeah.
I think I missed a Draco for like the ninth time in a row.
Wait, did you?
Yeah.
I think you did.
Yeah,
you did.
I had all my Nats Pokemon and items like locked in a different box, and so I was just using scrap Pokemon and scrap items. And then I had to go even further into my bench for the Premier Challenge that weekend, because then my battle box was locked too. But yeah, I had Noivern, who hit, I think, 3 out of 9 Dracos that entire tournament. But it hit 4 out of 5 Hurricanes, so...
One of which was on my Amoongus, which... Oh, code. That died quickly. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think my Amoongus is still scarred from that one.
I ran that same Noivern in a money tournament earlier in Seattle, and I played Randy round 1. And he led Amoongus Blastoise, and I had Noivern Rotom W... And I missed 4 Hurricanes on his Amoongus, and I had Taunt, and he just kept Rage Powdering. So I'd, like, Thunderbolt the Amoongus, miss Hurricane. He Water Spouted my Rotom and Wyvern to death.
That sounds lovely.
It was fun. And then he won that tournament, of course. Yes.
As Randy does.
although he won like $12 from that tournament, and he had to come all the way from Canada to play, and it was like a $5 buy-in. So,
oh my god,
beautiful.
All right, so moving on to our nationals, how far are you guys with your teams? Like, I finished mine like a couple weeks ago.
I mentioned on the last Lava Pool that I had one team with 5 Mons, could not figure out the last slot. That team went away in a few days. Current team, trying not to freak out about it, trying to get as much practice in with it as I can. I feel like you don't necessarily have to have the best team possible. You just have to play it well. So might as well just stick to it, know what it's weak to,
and
hope I don't play bad matchups.
And start again. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
For my team, I've been testing around with some goofy things, trying to make some obscure Pokemon work, and it really hasn't paid off necessarily.
Yeah.
But I am contemplating bringing my regionals team to nationals.
Ooh.
It's in the back of my mind.
Ooh, putting that out there.
People should already know what it does. Know what it does. So.
Yeah, I ended up building a team for, I forget what tournament it was, and it ended up being your exact team except for one Pokemon. And I had no idea the entire time.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a solid team.
I think if you had to run that at Nationals, you'd do just fine. Because I mean, you think about it, with the format of the tournament, like, by the time you're like far enough in where you're accomplishing something that you care about, everybody's going to know your team anyway. So, I mean, why not just make sure it's good?
Fair.
I actually did some team building too, even though I don't need to. It's like, it bothers me that I'm worse in this format than I was in last year, and like, which is a great time to slump, right? Because like, oh, I'm not going to play anyway. But I mean, I was trying to like kind of look at what I was doing last year, because I felt like this year, like, I couldn't get back into my style, you know. And I think it's tough for me too, because I play so meta that if I don't have like those little, you know, subtle changes that make it not exactly what everyone else is using, I'm going to have a bad time. And like, I started to find stuff this year. What I found I really needed was Landorus Therian, which I'm having a hard time incorporating into my team. But I feel better now. Like, I got Helping Hand on there, which I think was the main thing I was missing. I think that's the best move in the game.
I don't agree with it being the best move in the game, but I think that's something that's coming back right now. Because people miss gems a lot.
It makes 2 hits Okos.
But why not just hit it with your other Pokemon?
Because sometimes the other Pokemon isn't strong enough.
Okay.
Just sometimes.
It's all about stacking multipliers. Like, that's why Helping Hand is good. You got to use it with like Life Orb and Choice Specs and stuff like that.
But
where, like,
still, is
you're
that,
actually,
yeah, like,
you know, doing more damage than you could with the double.
50% boost actually going to be more than an entire other attack? Yeah, it,
yes.
It
depends on the attack, but most of the time, yes.
I mean, it's all about like switching into the position where you've got strong neutral and whatever is in that slot, and then just kind of like, you're getting the one big free shot.
Yeah.
More than, yeah. I don't think Helping Hand's in every turn move. It's a maneuver into a position, get a, you know, lead off of using it once.
Yeah, at regionals, I was able to LP Fans Kangaskhan with a Helping Hand Draco Meteor from Scarfied Dragon. But if I didn't have Helping Hand, Reuniclus is obviously much slower than Kangaskhan. So I wouldn't be able to Psychic it to get the KO, so Helping Hand paid off in that situation.
Yeah, for slow Pokemon, I get it. Like, it is definitely a handy thing just to have.
Pun intended?
No. Never.
Darn.
Never intended for puns. So, how have you guys been practicing? Like, we had the IC, like, a week ago, and I did not run my team there because I just don't want anything on there to get ripped off before Nats. Mm-hmm. But I've been playing like random doubles since then on a new cart, and considering 70% of those have Darkrai and other things not legal, it's not been the best practice, but I've gotten like maybe 6 out of 40 battles to be good VGC teams, or VGC teams run well.
Yeah. Like, sadly, I have been mainly using Pokemon Showdown.
Ugh.
Yeah, it is absolutely dreadful, and I hate every second of it. But it is one of the only things I have available. Of course, I've been testing with Colin, Ben, and Toller a little bit, and just like having like a small little group of friends that are, you know, equal skill level as me, possibly even a little bit better, just to, like, build with and battle with. That way I'm not constantly battling the not so hot people on PS. It's been kind of tough. Also, I have been doing some of the rated double stuff just for some other metagames, but whatever. Like Japanese metagames, stuff like that.
Yeah, I've also done the small group thing, like Irrelevance here, and he's knocked me out of no less than 5 tournaments in the last calendar year. So I was able to beat him in best of 3, and then I let him try to counter-team me a couple times, and I won all those best of 3s, and I never dropped a game 1, and I still have not dropped a game 1 with this team, or lost a best of 3. So I am pretty excited about it.
Yeah, I use PS like Blake, and also I team build with Blake, Toller, Benji, sometimes Smith, but...
sometimes Smith. He's crazy, but sometimes
I went under an alt cart on the International Challenge and tried to test a lot of things that I could, and I think I did pretty okay on my alt cart.
Yeah.
I hate to give yet another commendation to Pokemon Showdown here, but I mean, you pretty much have to, right?
No,
I mean,
no.
So the main thing I've learned from Pokemon Showdown
it
is that
work.
The one feature I never want the Pokemon games to implement is chat. I enjoy Pokemon much more
when
my opponent can't talk to me, and if my opponent's going to talk to me as little as possible, that would be perfect. But, I mean, the practice is really bad. The small group thing, I think, is just the answer this season. Like, you've got to have to find people where you can, you know, play against, you can learn from, and I think best of 3 practice is always, especially with the format Nationals this year, is just better. So, and you gotta have those people. I'm trying to get, like I said, I'm not gonna play, so it doesn't matter how I do, but I'm trying to make my friends best of 3 each other, because I think that's how they're gonna get better at this point, and also they're less annoying than the people on Showdown, so, you know.
Right.
That's really the important thing in practice, I think, is not wanting to choke your opponents.
Yeah, that's one thing I've always hated about Showdown, is I don't even look at the chat, so I miss half of what's going on during the turns, because that's also where they put what Pokemon did what.
Yeah.
So I don't read that, and then I don't know why things are going faster or slower. It's like, that should have died. Oh no, that's been scarfed, and I should have known that for like 4 turns now.
Or when that pesky Gardevoir traces your lightning rod, and you don't see it.
Oh my god, that's the worst.
Should have used static like that guy in Showdown chat said.
Oh man, yeah, that chat is bad. Look away from it, if at all possible. My god.
Alright, so how confident are all of you for going X and 2 day 1? Because now
super
we
confident.
Know.
Not at all.
Now that we know all X2's cut.
I mean, okay, like, I was talking to Benji about this, and, like, he's like, oh, like, sure, we have the round 1 bye, like, alright, cool, that's awesome, and, like, oh, all we have to do is top cut Nationals, and then we realize, wait, we have to top cut Nationals. Like, it's something we have never done in our competitive,
Careers,
thank you, good lord. Something we've never done in our competitive Pokemon careers ever. It's a huge event, you have literally the best players in America there. It's tough, but this year it feels like it would be the one that personally I would top cut. If there was any year I was supposed to top cut, I feel like it would be this one, so hopefully everything works out, but overall not so confident. So yeah.
Personally, I feel like I'm on fire right now. I'm 5th in America in CP, best Jive time last weekend. If I make day 2 and get top 64, Gavin thinks that I may be able to make it, and so I like my odds of getting to day 2, but also I want a regional, come on.
Yeah.
For anyone wondering, yes, it is. He is like this 24/7.
Yeah, I'm I'm also like super confident with my team right now. Like I would be.
That's good.
I would be just completely surprised and disappointed if I couldn't go X2 with this. Like I don't even know what else I could do at this point to get better. Not been the best year for me, but I have gone X and 2 at like 1,000 regionals without having a team before 2 days in advance. So hopefully this time I can at least do that well. You would hope.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're going to have one big tournament, this is the right time to have it, right? I think if I learned something from the last few years that, like, the years I didn't cut, even though I was close, like, I wasn't as good as I was last year when I did. So I feel like the tournament works, right? Like, if you put the practice in and you know enough about the metagame, it works out. Like, I think that, you know, I kind of, like, gradually, I guess I did the same 2 years with exactly one spot two not good enough. And then last year, things were going pretty well prior to the point where I dropped to start commentating. But, like, there was good karma there, right? Like, the years where I was close, like, I was bitter, but, you know, realistically looking back, I wasn't as ready as I was last year. So I just feel like, you know, put the practice in, you know, make sure you really know your team, because I think that's more important than having the best team. Like, it works out.
Yeah.
I'm never nervous about these tournaments anymore.
I'm a little confused as to how the whole everybody's X2 gets in, but then the records are completely wiped the next day. Like, why should anyone keep playing after they've guaranteed their spot?
Logically, I think they're going to sandbag.
Like, I don't even know how to answer that.
They should,
like,
be sandbagging at that point to hide anything they can possibly hide if it hasn't been discovered.
Yeah.
The only time I think it matters if you get paired down against someone good, because then you get a chance to eliminate them for free. But other than that, yeah, I mean, I wish that they would use the, and I know Tom can't do this, and it's probably the reason, but I wish they'd use the day one records as the first tiebreaker in day two. So, like, if you went 9-0 on Swiss but 4-2'd on Saturday, you'd get the 8 seed or whatever.
Right, that,
I think that's the answer, but not this year.
That would be nice. But, yeah, I'd like to see somebody draw after, like, with, like,
oh,
one
God.
Left in their X1.
Not this again.
Just try it.
Can you give me the automatic loss?
Yeah, like, it doesn't matter at that point. Just see what you can do.
Just bend the tournament as much as possible after you get top right guaranteed.
Exactly.
Great idea.
I like that all X2, Scott. I think it's weird to announce it that far in advance.
Better to know it than not to know it, though.
It is.
Yeah, I think going into the tournament now, everybody feels better. They feel like they're going to get a fair shake. You know, I think that's important. You know, like, I think all weekend now, going in, you're kind of thinking, like, okay, you know, like, I just have to, it's within my control now. You know, like, I know I can go X2. I know that's going to be good enough. Just have to, you know, make things happen. I think that matters a lot. And I'm sure we've all been there, but there's nothing worse in a tournament when the whole time you're sitting there, like, you take an early loss, and just the whole tournament you're not thinking about your matches, you're thinking about if you're going to game the system well enough to get in an opponent win percentage. So, like, totally removing that, just, I don't know, not even have to consider that. I love it.
Yeah, like having a round one bye That's and then good. Getting a loss anyway. Like, that kind of throws you off a little bit.
A little,
All right, so, day two.
They introduced day two this year. Well, they didn't introduce day two. They've had day twos. But, like, they introduced a new system for day two where we have, I don't know, I don't think they announced the amount of rounds, probably like 6 or 7, depending on the amount of people in Top Cut. For, it's Swiss, but best of three, it's very similar to Worlds, where you also have a Top Cut of 8 at Worlds as well. You have it at Nationals. So yeah, it's going to be very tiring and very interesting to see how that plays out. I feel, and also, like, everybody who's X2 gets in, there's going to be, like, I think Zach calculated, it's going to be, like, between 40 and 70 people in day two. So there's going to be, like, a lot of people doing this day two thing, and it's going to be very interesting to see how it
I think
plays
it's
out.
Great. Like, I think it will really show who deserves to be at Worlds, because if you can make it through day two, then Worlds is, like, pretty much the same thing.
For sure.
That you'll have the practice of the best of threes for an entire day. And for, it's good practice also for Worlds from, like, anybody's perspective, really.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I think it's going to be amazing. Because it's literally the same format as Worlds, right? You just have slightly more people, so you might have an extra round. And especially, I guess, again, you know, I get kind of a weird perspective not going to play in the tournament this year. But I think as an outsider, it seems perfect, right? Because what I want is someone who's not trying to be in it for myself is I want the best players to get to the end so that they're representing the United States at Worlds and, you know, the best players are getting the prizes. And, you know, if ever you're going to do that, like, even if you don't get to the top eight or whatever, but as long as you do well, you know, in that second day Swiss, like, you're probably ready for Worlds. You know, like, it's a great experience. I think that it's really going to make sure the most deserving people get those last two invites where, like, the top eight and the top four are what a lot of people need. So I feel like some years with the bracket stage, you can luck out and get that lucky bracket. Like, I don't want to call anybody out, but we all know that, you know, it's happened a few times. So you can't do that with 6-7 rounds of best of three Swiss, right? And then probably another round of top cut for some of those people. Like, if you get there 100%, you should be there and you'll probably do well in Worlds. So I'm really excited to see kind of how that translates to DC and to see if, you know, maybe we do a little better this year, because I thought the U.S. really choked last year.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so predictions.
No clue. Not really. I mean, well, I feel like the person who wins isn't going to be in top 16.
Really?
It just feels like they won't be in top 16. Really?
I would argue differently.
Oh, okay, Colin. Mr. I'm in it to win it. Well, I don't know. Like, it just feels like people in top 16 are going to be like, oh, okay, I'm like 3-3 day two, or like I'm 3-0 day two. I'm going to kind of like, they might, like, you know, care a little bit less towards the end, but like maybe not everyone in top 16, Colin, but I feel like some people, like myself, if I'm 3-0 day two, screw it. I'm done. Like, I am done. Hello Worlds. So it's going to be interesting. Like, I feel like the people in top 3-2 have a little bit more motivation, to make it to the very top. So I don't know. That's my prediction.
I
don't know.
I think Wolf's gonna do well. I don't know. I've always been a fan of his team building, and I think I think he wants it, and he's done it before. I think I'm going with Wolf.
I'm gonna go with the obvious pick and just say that bad intent's not losing this time. Like, he's
going for three tournament wins.
Yeah, he's having a monster year, and he's not the kind of person to coast. So
with bad intent, he hasn't. He got the big wins in October, and then he did win. Was it SoCal?
In
January. But he really hasn't. He didn't show any. Did he even go to regionals in spring?
He didn't need to.
Yeah. So he seems like he's out of practice. Like, he might be. I don't actually know.
I would not.
Yeah, I mean, the last time we saw him, he lost in the finals of a Premier Challenge to Auroras, right?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to. No, I love to be the devil's advocate here. My prediction is that Bad Intent doesn't even make it to day two.
Ooh.
And I know it's bold talk, right? But I know he's just kind of like in his own little bubble since like 3 or 4 months ago. Like, he's on social media hiatus and. I just feel like that's a really bad way to prepare for an event, right? Like, to me, at least, when you're doing an event, you want as much information as possible, right? Like, Pokemon's a social game, whereas he's kind of trying to do it all on his own, and I don't think that works. So I think he's going to do poorly. I think that he's had an easy schedule in the events he's been in. I think that the team he's used has indicated that he doesn't understand the metagame quite as well as I think he needs to. So I actually really have low expectations for him. I agree with the Wolf pick, and I agree with kind of with the idea that not necessarily like the top 16 won't do well, but I feel like the people who do really well at this event, like, I feel like the favorites are always kind of like, if the top four isn't mostly people from the northeast part of the country, then it was an upset, which is kind of inherently ridiculous, right? But that's just the way it's interpreted, and that I don't think will happen this year. Like, I think there's a lot of, like, kind of people who didn't have bigger names prior to this year are the people I'm expecting to do well. Like, I think the two of you do well. I think that, like, Dingrim will do really well.
Whoa.
Well, I don't. It's easier than naming names. I think Fidget's gonna go like 0-7 in the draft. I mean, you're hard to predict, Fidget, because like, without knowing your team, it could be amazing or terrible, right? But like, Wolf's kind of the same thing, right? Where like, it could be great. I think like Wolf has shown that he's an amazing player in the past, but he doesn't. I haven't felt like his team's a great fit for how he plays in this metagame yet, so it's hard to predict him, right? There's a lot of people like that. Whereas, like, it's easier to predict the people who play a little more meta, who I think are trying hard. I guess that's the group I want to... It's the safe pick, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Like, with Wolf, we could get either a Sword Sand Caesar or a Sandvill Garchomp.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the difference?
They're both incredible.
Thank you, Colin.
All right. Last thing we have on here is commentators were announced.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, you are one of them. How much did you know going into this?
Oh, I mean, a lot.
I would hope.
I guess to go back to the beginning, I was playing the whole season assuming I'd be commentating. So I was sandbagging a little bit some of the regionals. But I knew sort of what was going to happen with the new guys for quite a while out. Like, I think even in, I don't know if it was winter regionals or spring, that I talked about Justin Flynn with Chris. So I'd known that that was kind of what he was thinking. And, you know, I think I posted on Nugget Bridge about this. You know, like, if I'd made the picks, would it have been the two that we got? No. But I've actually been really impressed by them in practice, like, especially Justin, who I think people were kind of rightly a little concerned about. He is very good. Like, he takes direction really well. He's a very smart guy. He's fun to be around. He's better at being funny in a commentating context than I think either Evan or I are. And I think people will be really surprised by how good he is at Nationals, and then at Worlds he'll probably get way better again. He's just a very impressive person. So I might have been wrong on that one.
I still don't know that much about him, but everybody was really upset for a while for what seemed like no good reason. I saw Oliver post some stuff that made Oliver look kind of terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the community reaction was understandable there, because, I don't mean, it wasn't right,
no,
right?
I agree
with what you're saying.
Completely unwarranted.
I don't necessarily want to defend the community here, because I think, and I freaked out a little bit too, so I'm definitely one of the people I'm criticizing here. But I think that the mindset made sense as far as, like, I could see why people were mad. We're used to everyone kind of working for free in VGC. We've got kind of a unique community that way. I think a lot of people in VGC don't see the outside of the internet as much, where it's normal to be what, you know, Justin Flynn is doing, and there's nothing wrong with that. We just kind of aren't exposed to that nearly as much, and like, everyone's super, super overreacted, right? Like, that's completely unacceptable by, like, the entire community.
For people who don't know, he set up the site where, basically, it's a site where content creators, like, let people pay them, or it's basically, like, accepting tips. Like, you're not buying anything from them. But the way he had it set up, it looked kind of like a Kickstarter, even though it's just this thing for, hey, if you like my stuff, maybe send me some money. And people were thinking, like, oh, he's charging people to become his friends and all this other stuff. And it's like, no, that is absolutely not what that is. That's not what that says at all.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with him too, right, is he already has tons of Twitch subscriptions, right? Like, they're paying him anyway. So I think the thing for him, the impression I've gotten, is, like, I don't know if he feels guilty that his fans give him money already, but, like, he wants to give more back. So it's kind of like the community had it completely backwards, right? It's like, not only was he not money grabbing, but he was doing it because he wanted to give more to people, not because he wanted to give less. And so it's frustrating me now, especially because, like I said, I was a little irritated at the time too. So I'm mad at myself more than the community, I guess, for kind of jumping to conclusions a little bit. But I feel bad for the guy. Like, every time I've talked to him, he's a really positive impression, right? He's like one of the nicest people I've ever met. So it's hard to read that thread now where everybody is jumping the poor guy. I can't think of someone who deserves it less.
Yeah, what people should have been angry about is Dewey getting the job. Not because Dewey doesn't deserve it, but because he's, like, one of the most entertaining players to watch, and him not being able to play is kind of annoying.
I'm really happy for him, though, because he's the other one who's, like, we'd kind of been trying to bring him along in the commentary thing, and, like, I know he really cares about it, so he's an entertaining guy, too, right?
Right?
So I'm hoping he can kind of translate that to the commentary. I think the thing that Evan and I did last year is we didn't have enough fun. You know, like, we're great serious Pokemon, but gotta loosen it up a little bit, right. You know? And I think both Justin and Dwee will be great at that, so I'm really happy for both of them. Great people.
Yeah, I remember at Worlds, Mike and Chalky were trying to dance in front of you in the Ludicolo Mirabee costume, and you guys just wouldn't crack a smile or anything. Just like, come on, guys.
Gotta be like steel up there, man. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, the whole, like both Vancouver and Indianapolis last year, I was like, right on the verge of fainting for, like, 4 days straight both times. Like, forget laughing, right? Like, I was just focusing on breathing. I wish I was kidding, too, but, man, like, I was stressing out about that stuff last year. So, another reason why I'm excited for the new guys, maybe they could lighten things up, because, God, do I ever need it.
How long are you guys streaming for?
The plan is on Saturday, we are streaming the video game from noon to about 5, and then the trading card game from 5 to about 9.
What time
and then,
zone?
Eastern. And then it's 9 to 2 for the TCG on Sunday and 2 to 5 for the video game. I know that Sunday will be basically the same as it was last year, except for the part where we accidentally went way over on time and had to do some of the top cut bracket in the morning. It's supposed to just be the 3 TCG finals and the 3 video game finals on Sunday. Saturday, I think what we stream will depend somewhat on how fast the tournament is actually moving. I think the plan is to do the last few rounds of Day 2 Swiss and then Top 8 and Top 4. So I think that'll be cool. We'll get to do a lot more rounds than last year. More players will have a chance to get on stream. They should all be really good matches. So pretty excited to see how that turns out.
Cool. All right. Anything else you guys want to hit on for Nats before we go? Do you guys want to plug your Twitter handles a second or anything else you might be doing?
At MrBopper96, you should follow me on Twitter.
At Colin Higher, CollinHigher.
Oh, that's lovely.
So easy to remember.
Mine's at NBNostrum, which is all one word. Unlike on my Twitch, which is a really great planning decision by me that I would definitely do again if I could have it back.
Yeah. All right, we'll throw it to the next segment with Hold for Edit. Reigning U.S. National Champion King of Mars, Dim Sun, and CT Cybertron presented by Coca-Cola. However, it's going to go up in a different segment because I do not have time to edit all of this before going to Nationals myself, so I'll end up editing that segment on the plane and putting it up as soon as I land in Chicago. Stay tuned.
Draco Meteor from Scarify Dragon. So...
Oh, just a second. Toler joined the call. He doesn't know that we're already recording. So, Toler, can you come back later? Okay.
Toler!
Okay. So, let's just let him go. All right.
Yeah, I was able to...